This is professional radio, gentlemen.
That would and be it's front wheel drive.
Scotty, have you got anyone you want to thank?
Just myself.
And now I do the after hours.
Gentlemen, what would you go for?
Thanks to your sin, dude.
Okay, and because it's not a supercar.
But it is.
It's not.
Automotive perfection comes in the form of two letters, A and U.
Long live my LTD.
Welcome to Car Talk. It's Tuesday night here on 98.9 Northwest FM. It's me, Matty J, in the studio with Mr. Alam Deep Singh, Mr. Adrian DiGiorgio, and online with Mr. Tyrone Cabral, who's in space, and Scotty Doe, who's in what looks to be a normal office. How are you, fellas?
Good, good.
Doing not too bad, Matty. Not too bad.
That's good, mate. That's good. That's good. How are you, Adrian?
Snuggle in, Adrian. It's cold.
Oh, sorry. Hang on. Hello. Oh, yes. We're doing well. It's getting very cozy here at 98.9.
I think Scotty's cat wanted in on that.
Yeah. Come here.
He's feeling a bit left out.
Let's crack on with some car updates. Yeah, there he is. There's Simba. Let's crack on with some car updates.
Simba.
Simba. First and foremost, car updates. Let's start off with who was here first tonight? Was it you or was it
actually Adrian was here first.
Actually, I was
a bit later.
He was in the studio first.
Yeah. Okay, well, Alan and Adrian, you fought it out now. Adrian was here first. So Adrian, your car updates.
I don't have any car updates, but
you have updates, sir.
No,
no.
Well, we can't talk about that online, can we?
wait, what?
No, I have a question to ask everybody, and I'm spewing that Mr. Ed's not here because he would have been the perfect person to ask. Mm-hmm. But my main question, diesel or petrol?
Petrol.
Thoughts?
Diesel is the fuel of Satan. We've established this a long time ago.
But soot.
You mean Roland Cowell?
That's Roland Cowell.
That's illegal, sir.
You know who? I think you're trying to be Whistling Diesel at this point. Like he's really trying to say, oh, you know, got my diesel, and then just
diesel,
and just
have to always whistle it out. Diesel,
and he's got to go, and he'll buy like a 458 and just drive it into a ditch. And be like, yeah, America,
America.
Yeah, I'm petrol, but I don't know about you guys, or as they say in the United States of Freedom, gasoline. What about you guys?
I like petrol, even though I arrived here in a diesel vehicle.
Yeah, you did, didn't you?
Yeah, it's all right. I mean, it sounds a bit rough, and it goes all right, I guess, and makes some noise, and it's allegedly more economical sometimes. Not in that car, but I get about, 8.7 litres per 100K, so it's not terrible, but, it could be better.
So, like, is it just me or do all diesels virtually sound the same?
Oh, they basically do.
They all clack, 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 clack along.
No, not really.
I mean, Tyrone, you drove trucks for a living.
The Ranger never sounded like any other diesel that you'd find. Like a Volkswagen car, you'd hear that louder than the Ranger. A Volkswagen car that was diesel, you hear it louder than the Ranger.
That's because of emissions, like, but there's a different story.
Yeah, but I don't know. Having both cars, I don't know, either or, just depends on really.
Let me rephrase the question then. A petrol car that does 300 to 400 kilometers to an 80-liter tank, or a diesel that does at least double to that, maybe even triple that.
Well, again, it's all depending on, the use of the car. So, for example, if you're after a fuel economy, especially in like a bit of a rig, you're gonna go all day as a diesel truck. Having said that, though, I've seen a lot of bloody brand new Ranger Raptors with that V6 turbo, like the petrol V6 turbocharged thing, and there's tons of them all on the road, and they're all driving them like cocks, and basically they're getting like 50 liters per 100 at this point. So yeah, it's all horses for courses, I suppose, because like it's up to you if you really want that.
Yeah, like arguably the MX-5, it's only got like a 45-ish or 48-liter tank. and I could stretch out to 600 Ks if I wanted to. So, you know, if I had the whole 80 liters, as you were saying, you could stretch it out. It's about the car and the driver. Definitely the driver.
It's 80 liters, and I'm getting 400 Ks. That's
because,
at max.
That's because it's a petrol V8. Yeah, but
exactly. It's a V8. That's the issue. It's a V8, and then depends on how you're driving it. If you're slamming it at every traffic light.
You're slamming it at every traffic light because you need to. Because it's so heavy.
Exactly. Because you need to match the cars that are taken off normally.
Like, I was when we raced, I was, what, half throttle?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, so I'm in struggle street at the moment.
You know what might help you, Adrian, is see if you can get an iDrive for that. That might actually cut out the lag because it's a diesel.
And it doesn't actually, even have an OBD2 port. I think it's still OBD1.
No, it doesn't need an OBD2. OBD2 connects to your accelerator plug, but iDrives might be able, they might have it. You just have to just look them up, see if they've got it for that Land Rover series.
So, have you gotten rid of the diesel yet? Have you
That's what I'm saying. It's I've got both of them sitting there at home, and I don't know which way to go.
Have you thought about the diesel, like doing the diesel conversion? Because the other one's full of rust, right?
Oh, it's got a little bit of rust in it. Not a lot, but.
Okay, so which one are you driving right now? The diesel or the petrol? Petrol. Or the boat diesel?
No, I've got a petrol and I've got a diesel. The diesel was a parts car, which has done 400,000 Ks. But the problem is I don't know if I want to have that as a daily driver now because of the fact that I'll actually be able to get fuel economy.
Well, having driven a diesel disco one, you think your petrol one's slow? Wait till you drove that.
Well, the thing is I drove this parts car home.
Diesel's got lag on it.
No, but I drove the parts car home, and it felt quicker than the V8. And I'm like, what is going on?
Have you had the V8 actually looked at?
Have you serviced them? Have you serviced it exactly?
I have.
Probably like
I have, but
clogging of oil somewhere.
No, like the diesel's had a little bit of work done to it, so it's got like a front.
I don't know what could be the.
The diesel's got a front mount intercooler. I think it's had a tune, all that kind of stuff. So it is that little bit quicker, and you can feel it. Like it is that little bit quicker than what the V8 is. But, yeah, there probably is an issue with the V8. I just don't understand old British cars and vacuum.
I'll tell you what's your answer. Two letters. LS.
Sell it.
And it's
sell it. I mean, that is a solution. That is a solution.
LS the world. I think you could. I think you can.
I'm not spending.
The best part is he did start this conversation with fuel economy as like the point, and you said LS is a solution.
LS is a pretty economical V8.
Barra swap it.
Yeah, you may as well at this point.
With the LPG one.
Yeah. Put a reliable engine in there.
LPG swap, barrel swap.
You're doing what, like 30 liters per 100 Ks with the gas? It'd be great. I'll even sponsor the motor. You buy my.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Well, look, I think if you're off the fuel economy, get your diesel on the road and then move piss off the V8. But the V8's actually quite a neat example. So,
yeah. That's my problem.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Welcome to Car Talk After Dark. Literally, we're outside.
That's definitely what it looks like.
It's in the dark.
For those playing at home, we've just completely lost all the internet inside the studio, and we've had to resort out to the vehicle. We're actually sitting in your new D-Max.
Yes, which I'm going to have to jump start.
That's all right. You got jump a little leads here.
I've got to jump a lead.
Oh, we're speeding. Don't worry about it.
Doesn't matter, as Ed would say. Doesn't matter. Where were we? Yes, diesel versus petrol versus the E-Gas Falcon.
So I'm deciding between my blue parts car 300 TDI, which has 400,000 Ks, needs a little bit of work because it's done so many Ks, but, well, the main thing it needs is an auto because the auto is not in the best condition. But other than that, it's the V8 one that I've got, which has only done 180,000 Ks, but it chews through fuel like nobody's business. I'm trying to think of a nice way to put all this stuff.
It drinks.
It drinks a lot. It has a drinking problem. It's definitely an Aussie.
It's British.
Yeah, it's British. They have the real drinking problem.
Booze is a lot cheaper over there. Speaking of which, we're going to England. No, I would say it depends on your long-term plans with the car. Because if you feel like you want to keep this car and then it no longer becomes a daily, it becomes like your bush pig or whatever, then maybe you'd be happy keeping the V8 petrol. Because, you know, it's an occasional use and it doesn't matter about the fuel cost that much. But if you do, I guess, long-term daily it, that cost is going to add up. And at that point, the diesel is probably going to come in clutch.
Quick one. What year is it?
Both of them are 98.
Oh, you can put them on a club permit now. Anyway, so that's fine. So I think what I honestly think the answer is...
Yeah, two club permits. Drive them interchangeably. You know, that's what, 180 days of the year?
Yeah.
Yeah, but then what I'll do with the other 180 days?
Buy a third car. Buy four cars a lot.
I'll buy you another two discos.
No. You're going to find a Nissan NX and you're going to do that.
I wish.
Is what you're going to do.
I wish. I miss that thing.
So... Yeah.
Sell the Beamer and get something else.
Yeah.
I will be selling the Beamer, but until that happens, because I've got a few things to fix on it, I'm just...
He's not going
to
sell the Beamer. He's going to fix it and then drive it and smash it again. And he's going to end up in a fucking garden ornament again.
You go, I fixed the Beamer and I've just fallen in love with it again. And
and then it'll be the SMG.
Yeah.
So I'm going to fix the Beamer, baby it for a little while, so at least I can sell it. And then it becomes the next person's fault.
Baby, and he says.
Why don't you just fix it, don't drive it, sell it, and then that's it.
Because I've got a few things to fix, and I need to fix the discos first.
What I think is going to happen is he's going to fix it and Adrian it and then break it. And then it's going to be like, well, I'm back to square one. So,
I'm not going to say no.
Adrian, just buy a Toyota. That's it.
Never I had a Toyota.
Yeah, no. A proper Toyota.
Look, I think the biggest issue was somebody else wanted to take it from you.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It so wasn't the car's issue. Yeah.
Someone else wanted it more than you, Adrian.
Yeah. Anyway, I've got to figure it out.
Well, you know, that's where I stand. I stand on NX. Put this on a club permit and
yeah, how much NXs are like they're ridiculous.
It would save you a lot of money. The big fork out now would save you a lot in
it's $4,500.
Yeah, it'd save you on fuel because
I'm on my last one for $700.
You're paying for an upgrade of fuel a month on this thing. So
think of all the extra money you have when you get rid of the Beamer.
It's true.
Yeah.
Not only money right then in the spot, but future money.
Well, I would love to say
I listen to that because Scott is talking from experience.
Yeah. I would love to say that I'd have money out of it, but I really won't because we may or may not have been given a project car.
Oh God!
And the worst part about it is it's
a BMW.
Elaborate, Adrian.
It's a what?
Spill the tea.
Look, I'm not going to say what it is. I'm not allowed to just yet.
I'll be a Jag with a V12.
Yeah,
that's all I need. This is worse, actually.
How could it be worse?
This one's Italian.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So that's all I'm going to say for now, but... Yeah.
So you bought your friend's brand new Fiat 500 because it's already broken, and now it's a project car. That's because it made it to Warrnambool and back, and that was it. Now it's done.
No, I wouldn't touch a Fiat 500. I'll tell you that much.
A 124?
124's
good. No, it's not a 124 either.
So it's a Fiat though. Oh. Oh well, I don't know.
It's an Alfa.
I'm not saying what it is.
Yeah, it's an Alfa or a Fiat. That's where the money's
You're
at.
You're wrong. But anyway.
What?
Anyway, and next person updates.
Alrighty, I got a couple of updates. I put a deposit down for a new soft top with a group to do the replacement.
Oh, I put a deposit down for a new WRX again.
Sorry?
I thought you said you're going to say you put a deposit down for a new WRX again.
No. I thought he was going to say he put a deposit down for a 400Z.
No. I still have to get my deposit back for the XC40. My friends still haven't decided if they want that yet. I'm like, take the car.
You're running out of time.
Where was I? Sorry. Put the deposit down for that. I changed the diff oil and I added the diff additive.
Better?
And I don't think it did anything.
Oh, okay.
So I haven't driven around enough to make sure, but I don't think it made a difference. But we'll have to, I guess, see still. It's not like the diff was dying or anything, so it's just a bit of a whine. Yeah.
Did you put the red line shockproof stuff in there?
No, I'll try that next. But I was quite happy with myself that I got.
Carline guys are all over red line.
Yeah.
Red line shockproof.
Give it a go. We'll give it a go.
Yep.
I'm actually starting to think on Ed's front of maybe it's actually the drive shaft that's making the sound, not the diff. So, but I'm still happy to try that. I think if I could get it up on a hoist and actually have a look, that'd probably be better because, I only had the two jack stands, so I had the back lifted up, so I couldn't go too deep into the car at the bottom. So you know that's a project for another time. But at least I'm glad I changed out the diff oil. It wasn't that old. I think the other group had changed it out for me when I asked them. They didn't lie to me. Because, you know, you can never trust a mechanic. No, you can, but unless you actually see, I guess, you know, sometimes it's difficult to always have that faith. But in this case, they did their job, so that's nice of them. My dad's car has started having some trouble. He's been driving around with both his front park lights out.
What car is this?
The Falcon.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Like, I finally I give it a drive once in a while, and I finally kind of understood, like, why he was having so much difficulty. And basically, the issue was that he would basically does not care for the car. So he's just like, the car should just keep going without noticing if there's a headlight out or a taillight out. I'm pretty sure there's a brake light that's out completely.
He's being a Falcon owner.
Yeah. And then it's actually not just the light being out, the globe being out. I changed the globe and it blew again. So there's an electrical issue there.
How quickly did it blow straight away?
I can't tell because he didn't help me change it. So I'm like, can you at least test if the globe's working? So I don't even know. The globe could have gone out immediately. Could have gone out in a day.
Did you put the right gloves in?
I did
the globe. It was 12 volt or 24?
No, it was 12 volt, yeah. I did the change. I made sure I put the right globe. But both the Parkers are out. And they've been out for God knows how long. The left side, I guess regular beam or low beam, intermittently comes on and off.
He's got an issue.
And I'm the only one that notices. I'm like, so you don't notice your car's doing this stuff, but the headlight goes out sometimes. It's like, oh no, it's so I'm like, well, okay, I'll take care of it.
Can it be an earthing issue?
Could be an earthing issue.
So I might take it to book it in with the auto electrician and be like, what's wrong with it? And he'd be like, it's a Falcon. I'm like, very good, sir. In the bin.
He'd be like, the engine good.
Everything else,
yeah.
So, yeah, having a couple of issues with that. Working on fixing them slowly. And I think it's going in for a service as well. So we'll have that looked at. And, I'll get back to you guys. I've actually got the gloves right here from my local super cheap. Where's the camera? There we go. Got two Parkers. And I'm going to bust my knuckles, put them in.
Yeah, you got to take the airbox and the battery.
And the battery out because it's both sides.
Yep.
Yeah, good luck. No, not for the Parkers. No, the Parkers sit on top.
On
the FG.
On the FG.
Yeah.
On a BA, they're
below. They're just below the plastic.
They are actually a pain in the ass. Yeah.
You got an FG.
Oh, I'm sorry. We can't all buy 300,000 kilometer cars with, spotted histories. Nah.
Pay a super cheap guy to do it for you.
That's true. Get the, like, 10 bucks and get the numbers there.
It's more like the best bucks, Maddie,
when are you working next? I don't know what I'm working next, Adrian.
It is one of the best investments. To save your knuckles, like $10, oh, just great.
It is good.
And is it still $10?
Yeah, it's $15 now.
Oh,
what a joke.
Yeah, but friends, right?
Knuckles are going up in prices.
Friends, right?
What are wipers?
Wipers are $5.
What a rip.
How much were they? Were they like $2?
They were $2 when we started, yeah.
But are we taking out the actual wiper refill, or are we taking out the whole, wiper?
Oh, like
the refill.
Wiper refill.
Okay, because that's a bit of.
It used to be $2.
We never charged for that.
Really?
Never.
That's because that's the reason why you guys are being bought out by what's called Bursards at the point. And I was like, well,
yeah, but like, oh god.
Anyway.
I think that's all the updates for the cars. The D Max is getting close to its 15,000 K first service.
He's ready.
Yeah, it's a workhorse.
Guys,
it's dropped off TVs. It's towed trailers. It's gone to Canberra and back. It might be taking a trip to Ballarat to buy GameCube. that's for Sunrise Arcade, which doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah,
but yeah, that's all the car updates for me. I
bit pissed off about the Falcon, but I'm mainly on my dad because, you know, it's whenever things get to like a really, really bad point.
Yeah.
The front tire was also punctured.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's when everything goes wrong and he's like, oh, yeah, I need some help with the car.
It's because he drives it into the ground, though.
Yeah, but like there's weird things like the little middle donut of the drive shaft.
Yeah.
That was basically destroyed.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, I never noticed it. Like, what do you mean you never noticed it? The car vibrates like nothing else. Where he's like, oh, but I guess I don't step on it. I'm like, why you do this?
Yeah. Sounds about right.
Oh, he didn't notice the catalytic converter was blocked and broken. And he's like, oh, you know, I'm like, the car's got no power. He's like, oh, I didn't notice it. I'm like, fuck, you didn't notice it.
Well, anyway, it's on the mend. It's on the mend.
Yeah, hopefully.
Tyrone, updates with you.
Nothing so much in the car. Because I'm down on this end, so there are still parts coming to my house. But yeah, it's just packages are just waiting when I get home.
What kind of parts, Tyrone?
No, just a few little things here and there.
A turbo, maybe? A turbo motor?
No, not yet.
A few little parts.
Yeah, but what I've done, I have ordered another screen. So, you know, the Android Auto screen thing.
So it was a screen.
What I've done. Well, it is a screen, but they don't want to say it's a screen. And they keep telling me to plug in the original charger, which I've now chopped off, obviously, and connected it directly to the car. So yeah. Obviously I can't use that. So what I'm going to do, I ordered an exact same one from a different supplier on eBay, which is also cheaper. So I've got that in. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to get the charger out of that, plug it in and see if it turns on. If it doesn't turn on, I'm going to show her that the charger's connected, everything's all good. It still doesn't turn on. I'm going to send it back. I'm going to tell her I want my money back because obviously it's not working correctly. I'm using the charger. And then in the meantime, I've also ordered, remember the one I told you that connects to the fuse box?
Yeah.
So I've ordered that. I've plugged that in. It's plugged in currently. It still doesn't work with that. But I'll use that for the new one. And I'll send this one back and I'll get her to refund the money to me. So I'm going to do a dodgy on that.
Yeah.
Well, I told her to send me out a charger and she said it's going to be $35 just for a charger. And I said, okay, so if that charger comes and I plug it in and the screen doesn't work, are you going to replace it? They're like, oh, we have no guarantee that that charger is going to make the screen work. I was like, you're sending me out the same fucking charger. I go, is it either going to work or not going to work? It's not going to, there's no guarantee or whatever bullshit. Okay, the audio is on. Connects to Android Auto, does everything, but the screen doesn't turn on. And then after like a while, the screen turns on. Now, after even hours, it doesn't turn on. So I'm like, your screen's screwed up. That's it. So I just ordered one. I bit the bullet, ordered one. It's coming in probably this week. I'll put that charger in, see if it works. If it doesn't work, I'm just going to take a photo, send it back to him.
Yeah.
That's it. So it's the exact same one. I don't need to, it's because the mount, I've screwed it into the dash. So, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to unscrew the back, take the screen out, put the new mount onto that, put the new screen onto the old mount and do all that stuff. And then, yeah, just pack it up and send it back to her. What I'm going to see is I'm going to see if the hard wire kit that I bought connects to the new unit and it works fine. Then I don't need their charger. It's all good. Yeah, I can send it back to them.
Yeah.
But other than that, nothing else. Basically, I might have to go back to the exhaust guy. Get him to look at welding the exhaust a bit better, I guess, to the car, because it's whenever I hit a hardish bump on the road, I can feel it hitting the bottom of the chassis.
Mm-hmm.
So it's either the matter of the cat is a bit too big, the center cat is a bit too big, so. I'll need to get him to see how to secure that a little bit harder, a little bit stronger on the body. But yeah, other than that, everything else is all going well.
Very good. Scotty?
I got nothing.
Oh, easy done.
Quick.
That was very, very quick.
Have you sold the LTD yet?
What was that, Tyra?
Have you sold the LTD yet?
No.
Adrian, that's my that might be the car.
Maddie just looked away like that's a real sore spot. Health for Maddie. Yes, more time wasters.
Yep.
Even have to tell them what you know what you got.
Yep. So at this point in time, I'm just going to probably keep it And just I'm trying to get rid of it. That's the thing. But anyway, I'm just really sick of just people. So
good, Adrian.
Yeah, Adrian, do you want to come?
They'll probably get more K's out of it than anything else that he's owned.
I don't want to own a shitty Ford.
That's where you go wrong with your cars.
Yeah, because I don't want eggs.
Anyway, moving on.
He wants lemons instead.
I'd rather a lemon over an egg any day of the week.
Updates with me. No one asked yet. What have I done recently?
What's broken, first of all?
Nothing's broken. Everything's working good. I'm going to take the MR2 out this weekend and drive that. I haven't driven that in a few weeks.
Have you driven the F6 anymore?
I drove it on Saturday. I drove it all day Saturday. So that was good. It was nice to get that out and enjoyed that. But Steph's wanting to get a car. So she's been having a thing of a few new cars to buy, and but she's like, I know if I order a Jimny,
no,
yes,
no. She's like, I know, if, yes. She's like, I know if I order a Jimny, that basically it's going to not have as much stuff in it as for example, like a Kia Sportage would, like, you know, like a really nice.
But Jimnys can go off road.
It is true. It is true. But she has also weighed up the thing was like, how often is she going to take it off road? Would you prefer a nicer car?
Exactly.
Yeah, potentially have a more manlier car than you.
It's true. It's true.
Get a Kona N.
I like the Kona N, actually. So
they're pretty cool.
Did your mom end up getting it, or?
She is probably going to and put an order down soon.
Even the I mean, if she doesn't want to get a big car, the Kia Stonic, I think it is.
Yeah,
they're also not bad. The guy, the exhaust guy that I went on, he bought it brand new. It was like $30,000. The GT model too, the top of the range, got everything in there. It's a decent sized car. It's a bit smaller than the Seltos and the Sportage, obviously, but
I think the reason she wants the Sportage is because you can fit the dog in the back and it's. Mm-hmm. You can take four people comfortably, and you can put the dog in the back, and it's all good. But so we took one for a test drive. Really nice car, actually. Really, really nice car.
BYD.
Issue is, we're just not ready for a full electric car yet. I don't think. I just think we're in that kind of weird space right now. A lot of people are saying, you know, the honeymoon period of the electric cars, it might be coming to an end. So we're gonna wait and see. But they are bringing a hybrid Sportage out very soon. So that might be like a good in between, as a car like that. But yeah, I just thought I'd get your guys' opinion on it. But
I know what you should get.
I'd go for the Sportage. I test drove one with a good friend Christian.
Yeah,
he was looking to replace his Mazda 3, which is, I think, a big move from a car like that to a Sportage.
With,
like,
with all the dings and stuff.
Like, yeah. Like, that car got abused. It was a manual, and he should not be driving a manual. I tell it to his face. I'm like, what? He only got a manual because both of his brothers drove manuals, and he had to show up. Yeah, he had to show up. Otherwise, he'd be, you know, I guess, bitching out in a way, which I don't think it's the case for him. The car was just an A to B thing, so there's no need for that. But it was his choice.
Hey, Julian doesn't have a manual anymore. So.
No, he doesn't. Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure.
He finally figured it out. I'm
pretty sure Chikala doesn't either. I'm pretty sure he's got like
He's got a Kia, doesn't he?
Yeah. So both his brothers actually left. Adrian, stop breaking my car. And, you know, he's still stuck on the poor manual. But we did test drive. I think we end up doing the high-end equivalent as well.
Oh, yeah.
And for the money, Sportage was the best.
It's a better car.
Yeah.
And like, especially if you get a GT line like that, it's actually quite nice. And here I am talking about buying an SUV. But like, I wanted to buy a good wagon, but there's no good wagon.
There's no wagon. It's like, wagon, you have to get an SUV.
Every wagon. You can buy one of those.
I'm not spending $250,000. Yeah, I'm not spending
$250,000. Can I have some money, Adrian?
So, I mean, I'd love an M3 wagon. Don't get me wrong. I think it'd be great. But can I afford one? Probably not. My other option was a go all out and get a W204 C63 wagon, which is even
more.
Yeah.
Or E63 wagon.
Or E63 wagon, that is correct.
Oh, yeah.
Which you can get like for similar price to a new, what's it called? Sportage, but for a daily commute and family, you know, friendly kind of fuel efficient car, I don't think it's a good option. But I would have happily bought a wagon, but there are no wagons for sale. Like, it's just ridiculous. So
if you're gonna go VT wagon, swear to God
on stockies. So just get your guys' opinion. But yeah, I drove the GT Line diesel. It was actually quite a good car to drive. It wasn't as I guess because I'm still getting used to it, but a digital dash and all that stuff. So that was pretty cool. But yeah, I'm still thinking about it. But we've definitely got time. And another reason why we want to go for the hybrid option is because if we get through Novated Lease through work, they've got those discounts for it as well. So for example, you'll get the you'd have to pay some tax you don't have to pay.
Fringe benefits.
Yeah, the fringe benefits. Yeah. FBT. So it actually makes sense, then you save a lot of money that way.
Yeah.
So and the fortnightly repayments cheaper as well. So that is an option as well. But we're supposed to have it, I think. But anyway, they're my updates for now.
Tell to go to Haval.
And rust on the
roll.
So we're getting back to Adrian's topic, actually. I think at the end of the day, it's what you're using for. Like for me, I've driven plenty of diesels. Like Steph's car currently is a diesel. And yeah, it's great, but I like DPF issues and all that extra stuff. And I'm just like, it's just pointless amounts of just issues for what they are. And the fuel quite often is more expensive. Yes, you get slightly more Ks, but is it really worth it when you can get a hybrid that'll do the same Ks, if not more?
Yeah, because you can't take a hybrid off-road.
Well, I think that's where it comes into it, Adrian. What are you doing with the car? Because if you're just doing a lot of Ks, hybrids arguably are the best bang for buck. It makes sense that, you know, any kind of rideshare service or cab service, hybrid Camry is now the number one kind of purchase that they'd go for, because it provides, you know, the best fuel economy and the best running costs. If K is appealing, you think. Mm-hmm. If it's a lot of Ks and possibly towing, maybe some more rugged terrain, I think that diesel proposition comes in a little bit more. Hence why, you know, the big utes
and torque and stuff as well.
You know,
that's why you see a lot of the dual cabs and Land Cruisers, all that stuff. It's all diesel
because
they need the capabilities for towing.
Yeah. But if you're not towing anymore, in a lot of cases, and you know, a hybrid's not, you know, like a bad idea.
Well, I mean, that's why we were looking at the Sportage, and we asked them, like, is there there's a hybrid overseas? Are we getting it? They're like, yep. We'll get back to you. They got back to us, said, yeah, there is a hybrid coming end of next year. So if you put your order in, etc. But the issue is,
get an Everest.
They're like $80,000.
That is such a nice looking car, though.
I mean, they're a beautiful thing. Like,
so nice that to drive into the back of a ute and then crash into my little Suzuki. And then claim I had my high beams on. Still letting that go.
No.
Everest drivers.
They're a cool
thing. They're a good car, but yeah, that's a worth the price. That's the
Exactly. When you get something, again, like a Sportage, it's obviously not as big, but still, you know. If it's
five people in it comfortably.
Yeah, that's the other question. How big is your family? How big is the stuff that you're moving around?
Yeah.
If you're always, like, getting kicked out of homes and stuff, maybe the Everest does move your options. But, again, as you said, for your own lifestyle, you got to consider
what. Yeah. Get a Chery.
Cherry's back.
But also, I think we should put electric into the conversation as well, there, Adrian, because we are looking at not just petrol, not just diesel. Now, there is a lot of electric cars.
The problem with electric, before you even start, the problem with electric is, yes, they're bringing it out. No, it's not suited to Australia yet.
Yes and no.
Not suited to Australia.
One thing is, if you don't own your own home or if you own an apartment, charging infrastructure is much more difficult for you. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you own your own home, you can get yourself a basic level of charging. And if you're trying to max out the car every day, it's not going to work. But if you're using your car for an average daily commute that the average person in Australia goes for, you know, a city living person, that's actually pretty fine. You know, you're charging that amount up every day. You're actually, you know, you're
not having to go to a petrol station, so you usually will end start your day with nearly 100% charge, whereas most people don't start their day with a full tank.
Yeah, but
say, if you're trying to go on like a road trip, yes, an electric car is not the road trip car for Australia at the moment.
But if you go on a road trip once in a blue moon, so you've bought the car because, you want to go, your daily commute. Once in a blue moon, you're like, you know what? I wouldn't mind going, Dalesford or somewhere like that. You can't.
You're not going to use. You're not going to use 400, 500 k's to go to Dalesford. Where are you traveling from, Canberra?
No, I see.
It depends on the car.
I see the argument that maybe
my car can get to Dalesford and back.
Well, see, here's
comfortably.
All right, not Dalesford. But, Jesus, I say Shepparton. That's 2 hours.
But
see, here's the thing.
I can get to Sale in Gippsland and almost all the way back into the city on one tank with Subaru.
See, here's the thing, right? Like, Steph and I were having this exact discussion. We're like, do we bite the bullet and go electric? And we're like, look, we weighed it up and we weighed up what we're going to use the car for. It's going to be a long distance car. It's going to be a car that we do everything in, take the dog for long drives and go to Adelaide and go to Sydney and go wherever in. You know, the diesel was the better option than the petrol, but the fact that there is a hybrid option coming and there is a hybrid option available, having that bit of electric around town, save a bit of fuel that way, it kind of makes sense in that aspect. The issue is, we said, we're not ready to go full electric yet. One, because the infrastructure is it's not full inverted commas ready yet. And two, we just think it's a nice in-between step. So that's why we like hybrid for us is probably going to be a better option.
Definitely. Like the fact that you mentioned your long trips interstate, that sort of thing.
We do a lot of them.
And that's going to be your everything car. It is, very much, I guess, the ideal situation to go something hybrid or diesel, depending on, where you're at, what you need to do, like we said, towing, that sort of thing. But since that's not the case, hybrid is probably your best option. Whereas if you've got, let's just say more than one car at home, like a number of people do, maybe changing one of those cars to electric is a good option if you're in the market for a new car anyway.
Yeah.
Because that's even the guy who did our solar installation, that's what he's actually working on he's like, our new cars for our company are going to be electric just because where we've got a system set up, we've got enough energy that the solar, and we come back to base every day. That even as we're using grid power, it's still so much cheaper to run.
Mm.
But the key thing being is they're within your city limits.
So have they bought all e-transits then, essentially?
No, well, a lot of them are just because the installers end up just needing a car they just end up buying. He's bought I think 3 Model Ys he's ordered.
Oh well,
yeah,
far out, okay.
So, well, and he's like, look, he's installing solar and batteries. I'm sure he's making good money these days. And he conned us for 17 grand. No, he didn't con us. He paid for goods and services, rendered, but if you've got another car for your road trips, that sort of thing, like a lot of households will have, let's just say your SUV, and you're looking for just another car because you replace one of them every couple of years, that's a pretty good option for electric.
Yeah.
That way you've always got a backup car in case anything's gone wrong with the electric, system, or you don't have power or something, whatever's going on, you can still actually get it in your car and drive somewhere.
Yeah.
So you still got that option. Whereas if you've got one car that you're relying on every day, electric is a hard kind of
a hard sell. I also think just to add to that point too, because the fact that a non-car person like Stephanie is bringing this up, this point of we're going to use the car for XYZ, it's probably not going to be beneficial to go full electric right now.
Yeah.
So I mean, I personally think that's the hybrid option is probably the best in between. We can't get a RAV4 hybrid because that's a 4-year wait at this point. Yeah. So this is probably a Sportage hybrid.
Get a Prius.
They don't sell Priuses here anymore.
Really?
Get a Kluger.
But that's again out of the price. It's too big and it's way out of the price range. We didn't want the Haval is looking like the answer, but we didn't want a big car. We wanted a wagon or a Jimny. We wanted something like Jimny size or a little bit bigger. And the issue is, if we order a Jimny 5-door, there's already a waiting list probably throughout gone out the door.
Last I heard by one of the guys that came to work, he's got the 3-door Jimny.
Yeah.
And he was saying the 5-door Jimny has a 3-door plate.
Oh.
Mm. Yeah, it's ridiculous. But what I can tell you, Havel H6, they're 47 grand for the top of the line.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you get more features than that than what you get in the, like, in that price bracket, there's nothing else that comes out with the features that that does.
Oh, I agree.
Even like the top of the line, like Everest and all that, well, that's the only one I can think of, but like all the SUVs, they don't come out with the features as what the Haval does.
Mm.
And yes, the Haval was terrible at the start. I'm not going to say no. They weren't made in a proper factory, but now they're made in a BMW, ex-BMW factory. So they're made to, you know, break. No, they're actually quite reliable.
Well, the H2 I had for a rental when my car was getting repaired, it drove to Dallasford and everything fine. Like it did everything okay. Like it, but you could tell it wasn't a great car. It just did everything in the inverted commas okay. It'd be nice to see the new ones. Like I guess we could definitely have a look. But
here's up, Haval. We've always been singing your praises.
Well, I'll put it to you this way: one of the guys that customer at dad's work, he's got the Haval.
Mm-hmm.
And he was saying, like, the thing's just nuts. Like, it's sporty.
Yeah.
But he was saying that, like, he was driving along and there was a guy that was in front of, like, that darted in front of him. And he was going to, like, drive up and then at the last second swerve out to scare him. The car wouldn't allow it. The car just turned by itself.
Get out.
Yeah. Mm. It's got the, what's it called? The avoidance detection or whatever it is.
Pressure avoidance stuff.
Yeah, it's got that in it.
So here lies my issue as well, like getting back to the fuel issue.
Hashtag Haval
there are no wagons for under 50 or 60 grand brand new for sale.
For sale, under 50, 60 grand.
Everything for sale virtually is an SUV at this point. Like there are no passenger cars at Ford sell now. It's just the only car.
It's perfect for you then.
I don't want a Ford.
No, but you, SUV. You had the Forester.
Correct.
So, you know, it's...
Well, see, we went and had a look at the Foresters and stuff, and the issue with the Forester, it's gutless because they don't have an XT version. They did bring out the XT version in the Outback, but the Outback's quite large and quite long, and it's probably a bit too long for what we need. And for the price, you get way more features in the Sportage. So, minus the head gaskets. Now, it's just... I'm just, yeah. What do you think? What other options should we look at? Because oh, you know me, guys. I'm not an SUV guy, and I've been really thinking of this really hard. And I know we're not SUV people on this show, but there are no wagons for sale for a reasonable price. And I'm not spending 85 grand on an Arteon, which is going to break and give me check engine lights. So,
have you thought about buying a U?
I don't want a dual cab. I do not want to be one of these
people. I mean, we're sitting in a dual cab right now.
We are.
Are you uncomfortable, sir?
I can turn
the head seats on for you.
It feels like I'm sitting on a rock right now.
We can put some hill descent control on. We'll lock the rear diff if you want.
That's really
it. You know, we'll put 4 low, 4 high. Oh. Dual zone climate control.
Why don't you buy a 200 series? Like, that's perfect for you.
I'd love a 200 series, but have you seen how expensive they are?
No, they're not that expensive if you go for one of the early ones.
Yeah, but they're still...
I know one that you can get for like 50, 60 grand.
Still 50, 60 grand of a tech car.
It's a good car.
I think at this point, again, if you're buying a car for a family, let's just say.
What about Mazda 6 wagon?
Well, that is the option. I mean, that was the only other car that came to my
head. Why don't you get a sedan? Get an NPS.
The issue is we want someone to put the dog in the back.
Ah.
Because he's a big dog. He's
a big boy.
He is big.
He's got enough strength in his head to like throw your arm up and then get under it, get pets.
Nice. You know what he did? The little shit. He's a golden retriever. So I got a dog called Thomas. He's a golden retriever, right? And you know, thinking he will retrieve gold for me because it's in his namesake to bring me money. He
brings his gold nuggets on the backyard.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. Retrieves my laptop and breaks it. So
it's your fault for me. Like, Thomas, get my laptop, bro.
He retrieved my laptop for me, which is. But anyway, so you know, we're trying to think of like where we're gonna put the dog. You know, like you know, in the future, if we choose to have a family and stuff, like what would be a good option?
You're already at that. Oh my god.
But anyway, so like the Mazda 6 wagon is a great option. However, I want to wait for the new Mazda 6 because this Mazda 6 has been like out for like 10, almost 12 or 13 years, right? So I want to see what the new one, because apparently if the straight 6 one does come out, that'll be a really good option to have a look at. But the thing is, I personally don't want an SUV. Like, and the only SUVs that have kind of been like the actually okay to drive that I've driven were the Sportage and were the RAV4. Because the Forester was completely gutless. And I have been in a CX, current gen CX-5 turbo, like high performance one, top of the range one. Hated the seats. I felt so uncomfortable in it. It didn't do anything for me. So it doesn't really give me much of a choice besides the Havel H6. Havel, if you're listening. It's
what about,
tell me,
what about X-Trail? I don't know the new ones, because they've got hybrid X-Trail.
They do, but it's not a really good hybrid system. So like, okay. it's like an e-power system where there's plenty of issues, you know, people saying this is rubbish. So I don't know, gentlemen, help me out.
Hear me out. Y62 V8. Be a man, get a real man's car.
Be a man, do the right thing. Be a man.
Be a man. No, but
Y62? What about any VF wagons that we used?
Yeah, that clubby
wagon.
Oh,
clubby. We're talking about affordable cars.
Okay, SS wagon. Sir.
If you get an SS wagon, that'd be pretty sweet.
It'd be sick. Yeah, I would agree.
Some people will put those away.
Scotty, you've been quite quiet. You've been listening to us idiots dabble on about stupid.
I was going to
play, I'll be honest.
Did you test drive a Kona N?
We haven't. Because the reason why I didn't drive the Kona is because I...
He knew he'd fall in love with it. I had to put a deposit down.
One, that. But two, I'm not I don't like dual clutches. Like, I'm just like...
Why? You don't like race cars?
It's not a race car. It isn't.
Every car you hop in is a race car.
If you're brave enough.
It doesn't matter if they think that you're racing.
But have you tried the new double clutches?
I haven't tried the Hyundai double clutches. So I'm actually keen to give one a go because I've driven.
I've heard good things about it, especially when they put into the i30 N's.
Yeah, I drove the i30 N, the one that I dual clutch. Yeah, that was an automatic dual clutch. And I liked it. Yeah. Like, it did not give me the same
golf feeling.
Yeah, and
drove like an auto.
Yeah, drove like an auto. And then when you press the little button,
and green shift.
Yeah, the green shift. Yeah, yeah, it did some fun things. I enjoyed it. So I do recommend giving it a go, like on the road, seeing if
give it a whirl.
Yeah, because it definitely didn't annoy me the way the golf ones did.
Okay. Well, I'll. This weekend I might go have a test drive of a Kona N.
What about JWM tank? Hey, they do have a hybrid of that as well.
They do have a hybrid of that as well. Well, look, I'll speak to Steph. You know, again, I think she wants something hybrid, and I think she wants something that will have enough boot space.
7-year warranty.
That's true.
Unlimited kilometers, everything.
What about the Lebanese domestic vehicle?
Had a look at the LDVs. No, no, yeah, still unsure. But anyway, I'll
take some viewer suggestions, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely, we'll take some viewer suggestions.
If you've got some ideas, well, have you understood what Maddie requires, you know?
So it has to be something decent size, not huge.
Dog friendly,
hybrid options.
The perfect girl's car.
Wagon, preferably, but yeah.
I still stand with what I said.
Yes. Anyway, I think
what's your thoughts on the new Amara?
It's a Ranger in drag, is what it is.
I actually like the styling of the new. I think that Volkswagen did very well.
Do we have a photo?
Amara compared to the Ranger.
Yeah, I mean the Ranger looks like an F-150, like a small F-150. So, I don't know.
See, that's a difficult thing, right? So you get the Ranger, but you pretend you're an F-150, and then the guy rocks up.
Yeah.
And you feel emasculated, despite the fact that he's got a small penis than you. So it's such a difficult thing to have happen to you in, like, you know, one whole fell swoop.
But then what happens if a guy that comes along that has the F-150 Raptor done by Hennessy? He's got the Velociraptor.
Well, he clearly doesn't have a penis at all. So. It balances out. It comes full circle.
Well, gentlemen, is it time for the car quiz?
Yes, sir.
Quiz.
All right, let's get.
We've got a chance to win. We don't have Ed and David here. Emotional points.
It's fair game.
By the way, I saw the questions and stuff, and I still don't know the answers to it.
Yeah,
even though the answers are written with it, I still don't know the answers.
Oh, God help us all. All right.
Yeah, I believe it.
Well, you know the car quiz, 10 questions plus some bonus questions. I didn't have time to make it into the three parts like Scotty did, because I really like I want to start using that format. But let's get into it. Question one. The Ford Falcon, its name has been resurrected in what country?
Ooh.
Alan.
The UK.
The UK is incorrect.
Adrian. Can it be America?
It's not America, but it's...
Man, no, you can't be doing that.
Is America your answer?
America?
No, it's incorrect.
Down.
Tyrone.
South.
You're a Falcon guy. Now. You should know the answer to this.
Really?
US.
I just gave you the answer.
Adrian said United States, I believe.
Yeah, United States.
I said America, and then I said down south.
What? Scott. Mexico.
Mexico is absolutely correct, Scotty. They've trademarked the name. They're bringing it back. Bonus question. What other Ford name have they resurrected in Mexico?
Adrian. Can I please be the territory?
It is the territory.
Yes.
Really?
Question two. A 79 series Toyota Land Cruiser 70th anniversary was bought and put in a safety bubble. You know, one of those big bubble car safe things. How much are they asking for this car? It's currently for sale. Alan.
Closest to,
I'll give, yeah.
$470,000.
470K. Yep.
Adrian. I'm going to say it's $250.
Scotty and Tyrone have still got a chance to.
Tyrone's too interested in lip balm.
I'll go 500.
500 to Scott?
Nah, it's not that
much. Come on, Tyrone.
I'll say 180.
180.
That's the price for a regular one.
for a 79 series. So basically, 79s are about what? They started about 80 grand?
Yeah, they're 80 to about 110. Depends on what spec you get and what accessories.
Correct. So how much you want to open your wallet at ARB is the question. $139,000. So closest to was Tyrone. Well done.
500 grand.
Question three. The Range Rover Classic, so the original Range Rover, this is one for you, Adrian.
Mm-hmm.
Finished production in what year? So it had a very long lifespan, but when did it finish production?
I know when they when they started the P38,
mm-hmm.
but the problem is when they started the P38, they're still making the Range Rover Classic.
Mm-hmm.
So my answer is 91.
Is incorrect.
Alan.
95 is also incorrect.
Tyrone.
What did you say, Alan? 95 and Adrian?
91. I think it was later.
96?
96 is correct, Tyrone. Well done.
Oh.
Score check. Tyrone 2, Scotty and Adrian on 1.
Alan, all right. Get on with it.
Question 4. The Nissan 240Z, or Zeddo, as you, in all pronunciations, had a high-powered model only available in Japan. What was it called?
Oh.
It had the Nissan Skyline engine in it, the GDR engine, yes.
I'm just going to say, was it the Nismo?
It wasn't a Nismo. It was before Nismo's time, I believe.
Yeah.
Who, what?
I can't believe I don't know this.
Wait. 240Z?
No, the original 240Z had a... Original Fairlady 240Z had a limited edition, high-powered version. They'd used the Nissan Skyline GTR engine out of the Hakusuka Skyline, and they gave it a name, and it was...
Is it the same name as what they used in the anime?
With Devil Z?
Yeah.
No.
It was just like a GTR?
It wasn't a GTR. Yeah. Good guess, though.
GTR.
Who's left to guess?
I couldn't even have a guess. I'm not sure.
You're Mr. Nissan.
Yeah. Well, I'm more Skyline, I guess.
Well, it's got a Skyline drivetrain at that point.
I'll give you guys a hint.
No, that's not fair. Yeah. Why give a hint when half of us the guess? Get out of my car. You're like giving it away. Once I've had a guess, you're just trying to give it away, huh?
It's a number.
a number.
Mm. They added a number onto the number. 240Z and this number.
280Z?
280Z. No, it's incorrect. Scotty, last chance before I call it.
One.
One. No, it was the 432.
Wow.
Yeah.
Question five. If I own a chassis code 205, what am I?
Mercedes.
Well, the, that's 0.5. Mercedes what, Adrian?
C-Class?
C-Class is, you get the 4.1. Question six. In the movie Pulp Fiction, one of my all-time favorites, what car does the wolf drive? Alan.
It is a Honda NSX.
Honda NSX. That's correct.
Lots of cream, lots of sugar.
Lots of cream, lots of sugar.
That's how he likes his coffee.
That's how he likes his coffee. It's exactly how he likes his coffee. Score check. Alum and Scotty on one apiece. Adrian and Tyron on two apiece. Very, very close game so far. Question seven. The FL5 Honda Civic Type R has been crammed. Scott, did you
FL5 Honda Civic.
FL5, I thought it was Scotty jumped in there. The FL5 Honda Civic Type R has been crowned the fastest front wheel drive car on what track?
Alum. Nürburgring.
Nürburgring is correct, Alum. Well done.
And there's some kind of suspicions about that now.
Yeah, they're saying I was cheating, but
yeah.
Did anybody watch the 24 Hours of Le Mans?
No.
Oh, you're missing out. The NASCAR is one of the best things I've ever seen. I'll talk to you about it after this.
It looked like a bus compared to the other cars.
Oh, yeah. It was hilarious, but
Question eight. The Yellow Bird in the original Fast and the Furious was what car?
Fast and the Furious. Oh, Adrian.
Adrian.
33 Skyline.
It was a 33 Skyline. Well,
correction, 33 JDR. I win.
Yeah. I'll give you 0.5, Scotty.
Yeah.
The GDR part.
Actually, have a look.
No way! He's got it. There
you go. I got it.
That's actually really cool. That's actually so sick. Bonus question. Who drove it? Alan.
Leon.
Leon is correct. Jeez, Alan was just like, just warning.
Wow. He's Fast and Furious knowledge.
It's a comeback.
He's looking at the bloody answers there.
My answers are here.
There's a reflection through the glass.
There isn't. I'm going to hide it now. Bonus question. What actually happened to this car in real life? Adrian.
After the movie, they crashed it.
They did crush it. Well done, Adrian. They got destroyed by it because American government...
They didn't like the car.
No, he said they crashed it.
I said crushed it.
Oh, I heard crash.
I heard crash.
Stop trying to cheat, Alan. We're on the same team.
On the same team.
Question nine. Lada is from what country?
Alum. Russia.
Mother Russia is correct. Well done, Alum.
The USSR.
Yes, correct. Question numero dieci. I think that's right.
Yes.
Yes, good, all right?
It's number 10. Yes.
Number 10, thank you. Our local Italian, ladies and gentlemen. The Fiat MX5 was called the what?
Alum.
What?
What is it?
I need an answer.
If he doesn't get it, I've got it.
Is it an Abarth 124? I don't know.
No,
I'll go with that.
Well done.
Go with that.
Well done. Score check, ladies and gentlemen. It is Scotty 1.5, Tyrone on 2. Adrian of 4, and the comeback king is Mr. Alam Deep Singh on a grand total of 5. Well done.
Thank you. I don't take any pity points or shenanigan points.
You're trying to get rid of my points.
Yeah. I'm one first. We're on the same team, Adrian.
Yellowbird, man. Have you guys heard the story about Yellowbird? What happened to that poor car?
We were only begging for it not to get crushed.
Yeah, it was.
No, we're going to take it away because that was a grey import. How dare you?
It was a grey import. It was, I believe, it was brought in for show and shine purposes. I believe. And then
they saw the movie and went no.
And then basically, it went to an owner, and the owner was trying everything to save it, saying it was like it's a piece of movie history, which it kind of is.
It is.
And the
American, it's a shame what they did with the other cars from the.
And that's why Leon was never in Fast and Furious again, because they crushed him in the boot.
for the crime
of driving this car.
Because that's like with the Supra and the RX-7. They repainted them, changed them all up for number two.
Correct, yeah.
Which is such a shame.
See, I In the first Fast and Furious, I think that was my favorite car, the 33 Yellowbird. It was just, it was so of its time, and it wasn't overly riced out like all the other cars. I actually think they modified that car really nicely.
That was a beautiful car.
Scotty, would that have been your favorite car for the movie, or was it the Supra?
The first movie?
Yeah.
The Mitsubishi Eclipse that he was driving at the start. Danger, the metaphor.
That was all falls out.
You don't get to see much. I do like his Dom's RX-7 in that. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was
cool. I like the Jetta with no brake calipers.
The Jetta.
Well, the Honda 2000.
I like the S2000. The S2000.
Yeah, he's cool. Just the Honda 2000, right?
Yeah. The S2000 with the hard top.
Yeah. Yeah, that was cool.
Running 2000.
Dude's running 100,000. He's got more than 100 grand on the hood of that car. Just remember that. What's he got, like a jet engine? Like, what is...
You know what?
How can you forget?
Spoon engines and a Motec exhaust. Was it
a Motec system exhaust?
I'm assuming that we never got to see the RX-7 go up against the S2K.
Mm.
I'm assuming we never got to see what happened with the RX-7 in the first place.
He just left it. It wasn't his. That's why the cops were after him. They're like, he stole that car. Get him.
You know what Dom ends up doing?
Could you make sure the number 12? Also, just a quick one on that. The cops say, Toretto, stop. So they know it's Dom. He pulls a runner. One of the cops just got his house. He gets home, he's like, TV is safe. You know?
I like the part where he goes home, like they're having a party. All the cars are parked out the front, but no, we're not going to bother going there. But I'd love to see at the end of number 12, like that he just goes up to that parking garage again and the RX-7 is just there, just
not in dust.
Yeah, and then like he just starts it up and takes off.
Scotty, what were you saying about it?
Oh, I think what Dom ended up doing was he bought every single Dodge Charger and placed it in every country
in the country. So he had a
black Charger ready to go in whatever country.
Well, if you look at the end of 10, I would believe that, because he may or may not have destroyed it at the end of number 10, but there's going to be another one.
We haven't talked about it. Have you guys all seen 10?
Yes.
It is terrible.
It was terribly good.
It's terrible.
Terribly good, yes.
I mean, you knew it was going to be shit, but yeah.
Number 9 was better.
No.
Yes, it was.
But did you watch the end credits? Did you watch the after the end credits?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, Hobbs is back.
That's a whole other issue. Or somebody trying to take a big old...
No, Jason Momoa?
Campy Jason Momoa is the best character I've ever seen.
He's brilliant.
But they reckon that the ratings went down because of him. Because of his acting.
It should have gone up, because he was brilliant. He was the best bad guy ever.
What it is Momoa knows how to be a bad guy. Right? And if you go back to like his Stargate days, he knows how to be a bad guy. Whereas all the characters that they had beforehand that were supposed to be bad guys don't know how to be bad guys, because they're good guys and all that.
But they become family anyway. So
But the thing for me is, like, at the end, so Hobbs is only in it because the director, it's a new director, and he begged and pleaded.
No, Hobbs is only in it because Black Adam didn't succeed, and now he's having to take it like, on come back.
Yep, exactly.
He stood up and down and be like, you know, I will not come back to the Fast and Furious. If this is it, I'm done. Yeah. Screw Vin Diesel. And now he's like, all right, and Vin Diesel was like, kiss the ring. We're
back to the family. Did you hear why that happened there?
What?
So the whole reason that The Rock said he never wanted to be in another Fast and Furious is because Vin turned around and said to him, look, Paul always wanted there to be a 10, join in. And he's like, how dare you make me come back for another film because of Paul? If you want me to come back, you ask me to come back because you want me to come back, not say that it's because of someone that's no longer around and try and make me feel bad.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the whole issue with it.
There's much bigger issues with too many muscly bald men and egos.
I just want to say though, like, I actually, people hate on this film so much, but I went in there and, You know what you're going to get.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Same as when you're watching a Transformers movie. Yeah. You know you're there for the Transformers.
Correct, yeah.
The part that the whole reason why I did not like it is because in this film, when they got the new director, the new director said, bro, in your past 10 films, not one of them have had storyline. How about we get all those non-storylines and try and merge them all together and make a story out of it? Dude, and it doesn't work.
It's the Avengers, and it does work. And it's basically...
So next movie's going to team up with Braga's son?
Braga's
son. Yeah. My dad got killed in a jail because of you.
Yeah.
I'm telling you now, I'm waiting to see at the start of, like, Nathan's just going to come out with the buggy from when he pushed him off the cliff in number 7 or whatever it was. And Statham are racing. Yeah. I'm waiting to see Statham just come out, like pick him up at the bottom of the dam and take off again.
So they killed John Cena off in this movie. Was he going to resurrect him?
No one dies in this movie.
The only people that have died is Jesse and Leon.
I'm waiting for Jesse to come back.
Dude, I want Johnny Tran to come back.
They've been rebuilding him. He's going to come back as like. Hey,
could you imagine, like, at the end of like 12, like the bad guy is the dude from the second film, or whatever his name is, and Johnny Tran.
Carter Lerone.
Carter. I'll take my Carter back.
But he looks like
Tran.
He looks like the way he looks in Yellowstone now. So he's just like old and fat and like, you know, just like a ranch guy or something. He's lost his accent entirely.
I just want to say though, like the two best characters in this film were Uncle John Cena,
yeah.
Uncle John Cena was hilarious,
yeah.
And his car was the best car in the film.
The best is when the little kid gets at the gate and he looks at the what was that, the four-wheel drive, all decked out, yeah. And he's like, oh damn it. He's like, no, not that one.
I just love how he carried a plane like in to where the plane was.
Dude, the Fox body was the best. Like, and the fact he was like, dude, if you in the 90s, if you had a 5-0, you were somebody, you know, with a Fox body. And then, so he was amazing, and so was Jason Momoa. Like they were the best characters of the film.
Even Brie Larson, she was good in it. I don't care what you say, she was good in it. The part that I still can't comprehend is the part where the Mustang was on its side, and Vin or Dom just picks it up with one arm.
Dude, like, have you seen the Fast and Furious?
Like, he picks up a whole car with one arm.
Did you not remember in Hobbs and Shaw where there was a helicopter, a tow truck, and then Hobbs was bloody... Hobbs
like three times the size of what?
Hobbs was Captain America, like the helicopter down on the truck. Like, I'm just saying. There's no logic here.
If you're
looking for logic, you've come to the wrong place.
I still remember when I think it was number 9 came out, and we went to the cinemas to go watch it, and Tej turns around and he says something about they're about to go into space on like in a Fiero, it's on the back. And then Rome says something to him and Tej says, "That's not how physics works." And I turned to my mate, Alex, that's sitting next to me, and he's crying so hard he had to walk out of the cinemas because he's like, physics? None of these movies have physics in it.
Well, dude, I mean, when I was watching this movie, I like slow clapped at parts. Like when he saved the Vatican, I was just like, genius.
When Momoa was like, when he said his line there, that was improvised.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So a lot of Momoa's lines were improvised.
He did such a good job.
He just said, and he's like, so what are we going to blow up today? The Vatican. All right. Well, you're all going to go to hell.
All of him drives a scooter. He's like, my phone cool.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, that was very good.
Hey, what's with Letty not driving any cars anymore?
She's the black girl. Yeah. She's the black girl now.
She's still upset with Dom, though. You know, the whole, like, the fact she's raised some other lady's kid. You know, trying to salvage the situation. I think that's an episode.
On
a completely separate note, if anybody hasn't watched the highlights of the 24 Hours of Le Mans, watch it. The NASCAR is absolutely hilarious.
It beat all the GTE cars.
Really?
Until the transmission died.
Yeah.
Which lost them an hour and a half.
Okay.
But if it wasn't for that, they were lapping the GTE cars.
Are you serious?
Yeah. That thing is nuts. It was 3.5 seconds quicker.
Like an actual NASCAR.
Yeah, they got an actual NASCAR. It had 200 more horsepower than the GTE cars.
Oh, wow.
But it was 600 pounds heavier.
Okay, and it was still passing.
And because they had that much aero on it. Yeah. Like, it was actually working. They had the hypercars. Those bubble things. It overlapped. It passed a hypercar on a main straight.
That's crazy.
On the main straight. And then proceeded to beat Aston Martin as well.
Oh, I'm gonna go check this out.
This thing was nuts.
That actually sounds sick.
I liked it.
I'm gonna go see that. Let's get into some plugs, gentlemen. Our boy Rizzy Ross.
If you want to know more about cars in the electric space, which are quite popular, or what new cars are going for, hit up our friend Riz at carloop.com.au. He is the man in the know with a lot of stuff.
If you want to buy a Land Rover Disco, it's a V8 one for sale because he's going to get a diesel. I think we answered your question, hopefully.
I've got a diesel one already.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
if you want to keep the diesel, you need some money for the repairs.
Ah, that's right.
Like and share our Facebook page. It's Car Talk TORQ with Manny J. If you missed any of your previous episodes, they're all up on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasting out. So don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review to us there. Check out our merch. Go to our merch store. Go to teespring.com and type in Car Talk Store. Support the show there. Or support the show by becoming a patron to our Patreon. Go to patreon.com/Car Talk Podcast. And become a patron there. Hi to our patrons. We're also on
YouTube, so give us a subscribe. You can search us up on youtube.com and look up Car Talk Podcast, and we should be one of the main results.
Absolutely, 100%.
So give us a sub. We need the subs.
We need the subs. And Scotty,
ready to go. Check your grip.
Okay.
So there's a couple ways that some people do it. You can interlock, or you can just overlap. I tend to overlap myself, do whatever's kind of comfortable. But yeah, check your grip. Very important. If you grip it too tight, that could be slowing down your swing. So don't want to grip it too tight.
Soft hands?
And be careful where you're gripping it to. Bit on an angle, you'll probably be slicing it a lot. So just make sure you got it nice aligned, gripping it properly. Grip that shaft.
Grip that shaft. Easy says. I think on that,
it'll be nice.
Yeah, I'm an overlap guy myself. I couldn't do the interlock. What about you, Tyrone? Are you interlock or overlap?
No, I'm interlock. Interlock, but it needs to be so the shaft sits in the V. So
is two hands better than one?
Yeah.
Always two
hands better than one.
Does that help grip it a lot better too?
Wear a glove, my dude. Wear a glove.
Yeah.
Always glove up before you grip your shaft.
I lost
your risky blisters.
Hey, Scotty, we need to go for a golf session one.
Definitely. Yep.
Yeah, I'm keen to come to this.
I'll show you. Maddie, come along, Maddie, and I'll show you how to grip your shaft properly.
Sounds good. I don't want to be part of this anymore.
All right, gentlemen. Thank you for watching the final episode. See you guys next time. Take it easy.
See ya.